Hi everybody. Good morning to all of you. I wish to add my acknowledgement of the territories on which I live and work, the unceded and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples. And I think their story today bears particular the story today bears particular relevance to Indigenous peoples everywhere, where they have experienced and resisted colonization and forms of exile. And as you may remember from other sermons, our series is focusing on that theme of exile that we find in the Bible. But I think we should probably get the basic plot. After the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, they set up in the land of Canaan. And there's lots to unpack there for that another time. This land for them was the land that God had promised to them. They lived there for a while, led by charismatic leaders called judges, but eventually they wanted a king, and they set up a monarchy. A few generations into this monarchy, the kingdom that they set up was fractured, and so we get Israel in the north and Judah in the south, with its capital at Jerusalem. Within a couple hundred years, Israel in the north there was destroyed, but Judah remained, though they were threatened by the big empires of their day. In the end, Judah as well was attacked, this time by the Babylonians, because Judah had refused to pay tribute to them. Initially, the Babylonians just decided to take away the elite, which included the king and the royal court, as well as some very prominent officials. Now, that was the first deportation. 10 years later is the more famous one, which is again where Jerusalem rebelled, and this time the Babylonians came and mostly wiped out all of Jerusalem, destroyed its temple. But according to the book of Daniel, Daniel, the person, and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were in the first deportation, the first group that headed into exile. Now, it so happened, according to our story, that the Babylonian king or emperor Nebuchadnezzar had a giant statue of gold made and gathered everyone in the empire to worship it, to bow down to it. But the story is actually quite intentionally comical, which you may have picked up in the reading of the story by Marina. It is so full of pomp that it is laughable. The king sent word to the satraps, the prefects, the governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, officers, and provincial officials, and then all the satraps, prefects, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, officials, and provincial officials came and said that when you hear the horn, the pipe, zither, lyre, psaltery, bagpipe, and all the other types of instruments, that they needed to bow down. And so when they heard the horn, the pipe, the zither, lyre, psaltery, bagpipe, and all other types of instruments, all the people bowed down. Kind of get the sense of this ridiculous pomp in the storytelling. And all of the people bowed down, except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you can even sense in the list of these three characters, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you get this over-the-top repetition. But these three guys have the gall to resist, to say no. All the peoples of the empire fall in, but not these three. When the king interrogates them, he brings them forward and interrogates them and threatens them with a fiery furnace, they simply say they don't need to answer him and that God can save them. If God doesn't save them, they still won't ever worship the statue. To borrow a line from Grandview's former rapper in residence, they said, "Boss, you can burn us." And so, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound and brought to the furnace with their shirts, trousers, hats, and other garments. But when they were thrown in, they just hung out in there, safe and sound, and even had an angel to hang out with them. They came out of the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar praised their god and promoted them as high officials. It's rather bizarre. So, what do we learn then from this bizarre story? Well, there are different lessons to take from exile. Even in the Bible, there are different lessons from exile. Some stories lay the blame of exile squarely on those nasty Babylonians. And the lesson for the people in exile lies merely in just how to survive it, how to get through exile. Other stories say that the Babylonians were simply the tool for God to punish Jerusalem and the people of Judah. The people of Judah, according to this angle, were disobedient to God. They had lived unjustly, and therefore they earned their punishment. Mind you, a punishment is not the same as wanton destruction. This was seen as a punishment in order to correct their behavior, not to wipe them out. Now, we sometimes talk about this COVID-19 pandemic that we're in as an exile-type experience, where we are longing for home, for community, for a church, for safety. Now, I want to add to this. What lessons are we learning from this exile, from this pandemic? How did we get here? Is there any chance we humans, especially those of us with more privilege, have a hand in causing this exile? As industrialized farming and urban centers continually push back the borders with wilderness, human communities come into closer contact with deadly diseases that we are not meant to encounter. Couple that together with a world marked by hypermobility, and we've got trouble. Now, when Canada first began to announce the response benefits, Finance Minister Bill Morneau said that we don't need to worry because the economy will come roaring back. And my stomach dropped. Oh God, please no. Please don't let us return to normal, when normal meant woefully inadequate response to climate change and inequality across the globe. Fires rage across continents, sea levels rise, and now a global pandemic. Normal is the last thing we need. Normal exposes us to wildlife best left alone. Normal exposes the most vulnerable to the worst effects of this crisis. Homeless folks have nowhere to quarantine. Older adults live in homes where the outbreaks are, with vulnerable workers having to work at multiple care homes to scrape by. Workers at Amazon are run off their feet and have to choose between their safety and their job. Temporary foreign workers and new Canadians are pressured to return to work at Cargill Meatpackers, where they work elbow to elbow and are scared. This is normal, and normal isn't working. But normal, that's all the pomp. When I hear the economy will bounce back or let's get back to normal, I hear horns, pipes, zithers, lyres, psaltery, bagpipes, and all other types of instruments. I hear the voice of empire. But I can also hear the voice of the exiles, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said no, who resisted, who said there's another way. Exiles and pandemics are terrible experiences, and we need to care for one another. At the same time, we need to hear what these exiles are teaching us, what the exile is teaching us. What if we just stopped, rested, and took stock as much as we're able? Some of us can't. Some of us need to work. Some of us need to go and do what we can to survive, and I hear that. Some of us don't need to. Some of us actually need to stop and take stock. And when we feel the pressure to be productive and to serve empire, to kneel, I encourage you to kneel down and pray instead. Lean into God in these times. Ask God how we might come out of this more faithful. When you're asked to worship the statue, refuse. Worship the Lord only.